Hello again, dear friends. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable inviting you to stay tuned for this edition of Let's Talk About Jesus right here on WMAF. We do pray that that theme song is familiar to you, because if it is, it means that you're one of our regular listeners and a regular listener to this station. If it is not, we're glad to have you as a first-time listener and invite you to be our special guest today. We're so glad to be part of the broadcast family of WMAF right there in Madison and North Florida. And we appreciate the opportunity to share with you words of hope and words of truth from the Bible, from the New Covenant and the Old Covenant. The whole Bible tells a story called the Gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. And we're so thrilled today to go to God's Word because of the potential that we find there. This is not like any other book in all of the world. The Bible said His Word is quick and powerful. Praise God. That means it's alive and full of potential to change our destiny and change our lives and change us from the inside out. Praise God. Hallelujah. So God is richly blessed us today to be part of the outreach ministry that the Holy Spirit is orchestrating around the world. So wherever you're hearing this by the World Wide Web, we welcome you today. If you have downloaded this particular teaching from our website, we are glad that you did, and we're happy to have you join our teaching today. If you would like to come to our website, there are sermons that span the years that I have been senior pastor of the Holy Church of God right here in Tampa, an affiliate of Independent Assemblies of God International since 1974. So we're getting ready to celebrate in January 38 years of ministry. God has blessed us richly to be able to hang in there. Praise God. Amen. I'm not telling you it has been easy. The devil has fought us all the way, but it has been glorious because God has given us victory after victory after victory. And we're convinced He's not through with victory for His church. There is a great revival for the Church of Jesus Christ. So if you're a Christian, stay tuned. And if you're not a Christian, please stay tuned today. Hear why that we have hope in times like these, and hear it from God's book and God's Word. Amen. We love you. We welcome you today. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, verse 22 through 24. We're speaking on the subject of worshiping a worthy God, literally a holy people in a holy place, worshiping a holy God. Amen. And I want to read this scripture. We've covered 3 points, but we're going to go to our 4th point today. And it talks about what happens as we worship based on what has happened when we came to know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. Something radical has taken place, something far beyond simply the forgiveness of our sins. And I don't want to minimize that, because that's the foundation and basis for all further blessings, the redemptive work of Jesus when He saved us and paid the price on the cross has opened the door for many blessings, that the greatest of which is that we can now come into the presence of God and be welcomed there. That is what this verse of Scripture is addressing, the difference between the old economy where God came down on a mountain and the mountain shook and there was smoke and there was fire and people were so afraid because the presence of God was so near. They realized how unholy they were and how holy He was, and what a terrifying thing it was to be in proximity to that place where God was manifesting Himself. Mount Sinai was the place. Paul is drawing the parallel between that mountain, which could not be touched. Even if an animal touched that mountain, with God on the top of it, the animal was to be killed immediately because he set his foot on consecrated ground, made holy by the presence of God on the top of it. Amen. This thrice holy God that angels had to shield their faces and feet to minister before now accepts people like you and me into his presence. That pause was on purpose. That was for an amen from Christians and I don't know what you would say. I always tell our congregation, this is beyond amen. This demands a wow. Praise the Lord. Wow. What a blessing this is to walk into a presence where angels dare to tread and fear to tread unless they are sufficiently covered. And yet because of the blood of Jesus Christ, we are invited into that place before the Lord. And instead of fearing Him, we come to adore Him, to love Him, to reverence Him, but to love Him and adore Him in worship and praise and adoration. Praise God. Oh, come, let us adore Him as not something that should be saved for Christmas services once a year. That should be the theme of every worship service, because we have not come. I'm going to begin to read the scripture now, and let's look at the contrast between this new covenant relationship with God and the old covenant. Listen, but ye are come. You haven't come, the previous scriptures have said, to that mountain that can't be touched, to Sinai, but you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, to the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh of better things than that of Abel. I got to read this statement by Dr. Meenan again, a great theologian. Listen to what he said. He said, the writer of Hebrews is eager to communicate a theology of worship. He hopes if we understand what worship really is, then it will transform our thinking. We're going to look at Hebrews 12, verses 22 through 24. He said, this is perhaps the greatest passage in the Bible as it relates to the nature and the character of worship. Praise the Lord. You say, Pastor, we worship every Sunday. We do it every single Sunday. Well, this is just to add a dimension of an understanding and appreciation of what really is taking place because of what has happened at the cross. By the way, if you get through reading this, you'll realize that you don't just go to church. We come, amen, to Mount Zion. We come to the heavenly Jerusalem. We come, praise God, amen, to the city of the living God. When we come into that place of heartfelt worship before the Lord, filled with gratitude, hallelujah, and a desire to give Him honor and praise and adoration for all that He has done for us through Jesus Christ. Praise God. We've come to Mount Zion, the Bible said. We've come to the very city of the living God. We've come to the heavenly Jerusalem. And we have come to an innumerable company of angels. And now that's where we're going to take up our teaching this week. We have come to an innumerable company of angels, literally to myriads of angels. And Revelation 5, 11 and 12 said, I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, myriads and myriads, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. Hallelujah. We approach God's throne and praise Him with our voices. We need to recognize we're joining with angels that are doing the same thing. God's creatures, celestial and earthly, joining together in spiritual realms at God's thrones. It's so powerful to understand and wonderful indeed that when we worship on earth, we're joining worshipers in the presence of God in heaven, and our praises here on earth are being heard in heaven, blending with those that are worshiping in the very presence of God, the very visible presence of God. Our true worship on earth, as incense, blends with the worship in heaven. God is no less present just because we can't see Him. Amen. He said, where two or more of you gather together in My name, there am I in the midst of them. You know, what a radical change would transpire in our worship services if we could see visibly God the Father, God the Son, standing on that platform. Can you imagine how that would transform our worship service? But the Bible clearly tells us while we look as Christians, not just at the things which are seen, for they are temporal, literally changing, transient, subject to change, but we look at the eternal. Praise God. We don't look at the things which are seen alone because they are temporal, but we look at the things which are unseen, the Scripture declares, for they are eternal. Praise God. We need to understand that because we can't see God physically doesn't mean that He isn't present to receive our worship, that He isn't present within our lives, that He isn't with us every single day. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. That would transform a worship service if we acted like God was really there to receive the worship. That our praises were not trying to get past the planets into that place called third heaven where God's throne is. No, our praises are received by Him because He is present with us as well as present in heaven. God is a spirit. He can be here and be there and be with us anywhere. Praise God. We have come, therefore, to an innumerable company of angels. And then the Bible said that we have come to the general assembly. I want to kind of define that by reading Psalm 89 and verse 5. It said, all the heavens will praise Thy wonders, O Lord, Thy faithfulness also in the assembly of the holy ones. Hallelujah. This great assembly is not located in a physical place, but in a spiritual place. Those who are holy are those who are without sin, either angels who have never sinned or men and women who have had their sins washed away. As one, we are able to stand together in Christ, assembled by Him and for Him through His redemptive work. Men and women that have preceded us to heaven, men and women here upon the earth, boys and girls, along with angels. Hallelujah. Sanctified through the blood covenant as fallen men and women, we join with those who have never sinned, with the angels of God in the presence of God. And we are invited into His very personal presence to worship Him. We have come to the general assembly. We have come, therefore, to an innumerable company of angels. And next, we have come to the church of the firstborn. Now, that's not a denomination. By the way, denominations will not be honored in heaven. There will be no denominational affiliation in heaven. It's not that denomination is not important. We should covenant and commit ourselves to a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching group of people and preacher in particular. But those tags lose all value at the foot of the cross. Hallelujah. When we come to Jesus, there is no church of this or church of that, but there is something called the church of the firstborn. Amen. Ephesians 3:21 talks about them. It says, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus for all generations forever and ever. And in Ephesians 3:21, that is, and the church is a spiritual state. Those who partake in this fellowship are members of the church. Our Hebrew text refers and reminds us to the church as the church of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven. James adds that we were brought forth by the Word of God so that we might be, as it were, the first fruits among His creatures in James 1:18. Let's not make any mistake about it. You cannot separate being a member of the church from being a citizen of the city of God and a worshiper on spiritual Mount Zion. It's impossible to be one without the other. Now, it's possible to just join a church and not understand, appreciate, or appropriate the fact that we have a spiritual standing and we are invited into the presence of God, not just into the building. Praise the Lord. Worship occurs as a spiritual fellowship. It's also a universal fellowship. Look at verse 23. When you come to Mount Zion to worship, you come to the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. What a marvelous language. We become a Christian culture and society. We are a beloved community of saints. We are no longer isolated and alone. We're members of the greatest fellowship in all the earth or universe. We call it church. We are part of a great, worldwide, universal fellowship. This is fellowship that had its beginnings in an upper room in Jerusalem, and today is as wide as the world itself. Nothing has been able to stop the growth of the great church that God has established. James Stewart, and not the actor, but the Scottish theologian, wrote these words, and I quote, "Not all the acts of militant nationalism, not all the outburst of racial bitterness, not all the mad follies of the sectarian spirit, not all the pathetic spiritual exclusiveness have claimed a monopoly of the grace of God and has never been able to destroy it." The hymns we sing today are also sung in Africa, India, and China. All over the world, hosts of men and women are worshiping the same Lord Jesus Christ. Before you went to bed last night, there were Christians in other parts of the world who were singing praises to Jesus Christ. The chorus has gone all day long. And when we are finished here, the refrain will be taken up in the islands in the Pacific Ocean. Praise God, because we have come to the church of the firstborn. Praise God. We are in a great family today, the family of God. And we all have some differences, but there are our core truths that bind us together as one in the Word of God. And they are beginning with the fact that we have been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, and we have become sons and daughters of God. Hallelujah. Amen. And we have a spiritual standing that cannot be shaken. Hallelujah. We've come also to God, the judge of all. The incredible power and privilege of the blood of Jesus is that we can stand before the judge of the universe without guilt and without fear, washed in His blood, clothed in His righteousness. Isn't it amazing that this judge, who is privy to information like no other judge in the world or universe, all they have is the evidence presented to them. But what God has is a knowledge of each one of us from the inside out. The Bible said there is nothing hid from the eyes of Him of whom we have to do. But because of what Jesus has done at the cross, we with our flaws, our defects, can come into the presence of the judge of all. And the glory of it is, we can come without a sense of fear or shame or condemnation. Listen to Romans 8, verse 33 and 34. It said, "Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God Himself that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It's Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. And I don't believe it's just his prayers. I know, it, according to the scripture, it's because his blood has sprinkled the mercy seat in heaven, and his body bears the scars of the crucifixion. And those scars and that blood sprinkling, amen, gives us a standing before God that nothing else in this world could give. And God pronounces us righteous for the sake of his Son and his sacrifice. By the way, God is not doing this reluctantly. It was God's idea. It was God's plan. Jesus came to carry out his Father's purpose, and that is to save us from our sin, from Satan, and from ourselves. Thank God today, right where you are, no matter how much guilt and shame you are carrying, today, if you receive Jesus as your personal Savior, friend, your past is past. Your past is gone. You can stand before your Creator and your Savior without a sense of guilt and shame, invited into his presence, because we have come. We have come, not run from or been brought to for some kind of judicial purpose. We have come before the judge, and the judge has pronounced us not guilty in his sight because of the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. And we've also come to the spirits of just men made perfect or complete. Verse 23 states, you've come to the spirits of righteous men made perfect. When we gather for worship, the church militant on earth joins the church triumphant in heaven. In a moment, the sorrow of any physical separation that we may have from those who have gone to be with Christ is immediately eased. When we join the community of saints in heaven, hallelujah, it said you've come to the spirits of just men made perfect. Who are the just men? Who are the just people? They are people who have been justified by faith in Christ. And how is a just person made perfect? When he or she dies, of course, there's no perfection this side of the grave. When the writer said you've come to the spirits of just men made perfect, he's referring to all the saints of God who've died in the faith and have gone to be with Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. I stand and worship on Sunday morning with all those that have preceded me to heaven, my loved ones, your loved ones, friends that we have known down through the years. Amen. We stand with just men made perfect. Ah, friend, today, make no mistake about it, this is more than just going to church. You've come to Mount Zion. You've come to the heavenly Jerusalem. You've come to the city, if you're saved, of the living God. You've come to the fellowship of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. There is no social, political, or international fellowship that can compare to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. If I had the privilege of standing in this place of worship, my pulpit on Sunday morning, and shouting, Christ is risen, like I do on Easter Sunday, in such a way that I could be heard around the world, the response would come from the far reaches of the earth, from Manchuria, Sudan, Tahiti, would come the great chorus, He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. From Africa to the Arctic, praise God. From Buffalo to Borneo, there would be a resounding, He is risen indeed. Because God's family is a growing family. Not because we are so good at proselyting. It's because God is so good at drawing the lost to Jesus Christ for salvation. Ah, friend, I said God is so good. He sends the Holy Spirit to convince the world of sin, not to point his finger at the world in condemnation, but simply to point out that we're sinners in need of a Savior. We are in great jeopardy without salvation, but we have great a security when we come to know Christ as our Savior. We have a standing that Satan just can't shake. Hallelujah. He can point his crooked finger of condemnation at us all day long. But remember the words of the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 8. Now, therefore, there is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. For the law of the Spirit of life in Jesus Christ has made me free from the law of sin and death. Pardon me if I get just a little bit excited here today. Amen. Just because I'm making this broadcast in my home studio doesn't mean that the Holy Spirit isn't here, just like He is when we gather together with other saints on Sunday morning. Oh, God is here in this room, and God is not here in this room. God is there where you are, in your automobile, in that hotel room, motel room, in that living room of your home. Wherever you're hearing this broadcast, you may be jogging, listening to this on your iPod. Someone is walking with you every step, making every step you take. Amen. If you're a Christian, God is there. If you're not a Christian, God is there knocking on the door of your heart by His Spirit. And I'm convinced today that He wants you to know that not only can you have your sins forgiven, but that you can become a child of God with full access to the holiest places, with the holiest of people, to worship the holiest of persons, God the Father and God the Son, by the Holy Spirit. Praise God. Amen. Friend of mine, there's nothing like this in all of the world. How could we have the privilege of standing with holy beings in heaven who never sinned and worshiping God with full acceptance and full access? There's only one way that could ever be possible, and it is in our worthiness. It will never be enough. It's the blood of Jesus Christ. But after that blood of the new covenant was shed and established that new covenant, God says you can come now, not to the mountain that can't be touched, but you can come to Zion. You can come to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to the church of the firstborn, to an innumerable company of angels. You can come with those saints that have preceded you. While you're still on earth, you can acknowledge that you have His presence with you, and you spiritually blend with those in heaven when you worship. And we all worship God together as the church. Well, if you don't know Jesus today, I believe the Holy Spirit is dealing with you because He sent Him for that great purpose concerning the lost. No man comes except the Father draw him, and He draws us by His Spirit. And I simply pray today that right where you are, right where you're hearing this broadcast, that today you will come to Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, just as you are, that you will come to know Him, that you will come to trust Him, that you will come to love Him, and you will come to worship Him. And if you do, you will come with us and with them to worship Him. All over the world, in heaven and in earth, the name of the Lord will be praised. Repent of your sin. Change your mind about where you're headed, the road that you're on. Christ will forgive you. God will set you free. And you can follow Jesus. And you can find worship one of the most joyous events of your life. Let's practice up every Sunday and every day of our life for what's going to happen throughout all eternity when we literally stand in His presence. Well, our time is gone. So come back next week and let's talk about Jesus. And you are sent to be.